ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me are my spacey friends, Ian and Josh.
That's me.
Hello.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we're at the feature table, and we'll be looking at The Search for UAPs, designed by Ted Alsbach, artwork created by Tim Barton and Janos Orban, and co-published by Renegade Games and Bezier Games.
The Search for UAPs is a game of deduction, in space, in aliens, and brain explosive actions.
Wow.
Players on Earth are surveying space to find the Hubble telescope, some satellites, and some space junk.
Really selling it.
All in an attempt to find the UAP before anyone else. Be the first, and no one will believe you. Be last, and you're the loser. Let's review The Search for UAPs.
Incredible.
Well, first of all,
yeah,
we have to welcome Josh back.
Hey.
Our starry-eyed friend.
I'm back. I'm back.
Starry-eyed friend.
How's it going?
Doing well. We found the UAP. You found it.
You
actually
did, specifically.
Yeah, I was the big winner. I was the big winner this night.
Yeah.
I mean, we all called that at the beginning, though, so I don't know. It was really a surprise to anybody.
So I have a two-parter question to start this off.
It's very exciting.
One, do you believe in aliens?
Unbelievable.
No?
No.
No?
I do. I would say I do.
He says he does.
He does.
He does.
Incredible. Could you expand on that?
I think that I would say things exist outside of our dimensions that we can't fathom.
Okay.
And so that's probably if there
so
are
so we're just going to encompass all of that into aliens.
I don't think we're going to like look through a telescope one day and see, oh, there are creatures out there.
Yeah.
I think they exist, but we can't, we wouldn't be able to perceive them.
So I gotcha. We're going to take the word in a more
lucid,
not so literal sense of.
Sure.
How most of culture would define aliens.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I don't currently believe in them.
Maybe tomorrow.
But if somebody were to present to me a very, very good case that's not just a blurry image of somebody's phone that has some stuff in the sky, that's all I've seen.
They're always so blurry.
There are always.
It's always with people with the worst cameras in the world.
It's always so blurry. Anyway, if somebody were to present me a good case, I would listen. I am totally down.
Okay.
But right now, no. So with that.
Yeah.
What do you have a favorite like alien either film or like experience? But I mean, if we don't believe in aliens, then we haven't had an experience. But. If you felt this like...
Josh does, though.
Okay.
So, what's your experience with aliens, if any?
I have no personal experience
with
aliens.
Okay. Well, then what is... Do you have a favorite alien movie?
Do you have a film that you prefer?
I do like the movie Alien.
It's a good one.
E.T.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a good one that I'm... what was that? What's that movie where the... Arrival. That's a good alien movie.
Oh, Arrival,
yes.
Solid. Love that.
That's a good movie.
Ooh, that's a good... That one is a good one.
I'm gonna go with District 9.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Dude, I like District 9 a lot. I really enjoyed that. It's got some crude moments, but overall it's very good.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Ooh, it's been a long time since I've seen all these movies that we've mentioned.
Signs.
That was the other one I was thinking of. Yes.
I'm not into big like alien movies.
The,
so
like,
I think
horror movies kinda.
Yeah. I think Arrival would be like I'm trying to think of anything. Arrival
was so good.
I did really like Arrival, so maybe that would be it. But yeah. We're not necessarily searching for aliens, but...
Just UAPs?
Yeah, UAPs.
What is a UAP, Ian?
A UAP is an unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Very good.
Why couldn't you just call it UFOs? Like what?
Well, they're different.
So that's...
Okay.
Yeah. So this is some type of phenomena in space that could be flying aircraft, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could just be something
that you can't identify.
Yeah, can't identify it, and it's not... we don't know what it is. It could be stardust. I don't know. It could be you know, Tinkerbell out there.
And UFOs are just the blurry photos.
I don't know if we've done Tinkerbell in space yet. That's a missed opportunity by Disney.
From my understanding, those are the differences. Is a UFO is what we see on this Earth flying around.
Okay.
Where a UAP is more of this phenomena in space that's kind of, unexplainable.
Okay.
Google AI would say that UFO can be included within UAPs.
Okay.
So they could have called it UFOs.
They could have.
But they had to be
the conversation
extra.
Comes full circle.
But as you know, a UAP could identify itself as space junk.
You know this as the winner of the game.
That's true.
So
I did have to figure this out. And I crushed it. I did.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us more about this game?
Sure, let's talk about how to play.
Okay.
All right, so the search for UAPs is a logic and deduction game where players act as researchers, aiming to uncover the existence of various objects in Earth's orbit. They'll use tools like telescopes, cameras, and computers, and players gather evidence to document various orbital objects, ultimately seeking to locate the very elusive UAP. Players score points through taking photos of these various objects, and, of course, finding the UAP itself. The player with the most points at the end of the game wins. So you have a main board in the center of the table that is double-sided. You can decide which difficulty you're going to play on and go ahead and set up that board. You'll also get to know where the moon is. So starting off on the right track, each player is going to receive a personal space panel, player screen, research tokens, other tokens, a noteboard, and a wet erase marker. If you don't know what a wet erase marker is, Google it. Players set up their areas behind screens because we don't want to share our information with anybody else because we want to find it first. Because like Ian alluded to in the intro, if you're not first, you're last. You will also need to download and set up the Search for UAPs companion app, which facilitates gameplay by providing randomized scenarios and verifying findings. On a player's turn, they're going to have different actions that they can take. The primary actions are to either survey, target, analyze satellite data, or take photos. When you survey, you're going to observe a sector to gather information about the presence of certain objects within that section that you have chosen. And the more tight focused of the area, the more time it is going to take you. I'll go ahead and say now there is a time clock that circles around the outside of the board. Each action has a different set of time allocated to it. So when you take that action, you move forward that amount of time, and then you do not get to go again until everyone else is in front of you. So you could take a very specific target action, which I'm about to talk about, that costs you 4 time, and you'll get a lot of really good information. But then you're also going to sit while the other players at the table do smaller actions that don't take as much time, and they might gather more information than you, just depending on how good they are at finding that UAP. So to target, you focus on a very specific sector to gain detailed data. When you focus on this little section of the board, it will give you exactly what is in that section. There's only one item per section. When you analyze satellite data, once you are able to verify what is in that section and it is common knowledge to the table, then you can analyze that data to gain various insights about other objects that are on the board. You can also take photos where you propose the location of an object by taking a photo, but once that photo is confirmed, nobody else can take a photo in that sector. As the game goes on, there will be points in the game where rotating of the board is triggered, and so the inner part of the Earth rotates during the game, altering where object positions and various sectors are on the board. This will be tracked both on the game table board as well as in the app. The goal of the game, again, is to score the most points, so players aim to score those points by accurately identifying and documenting objects in orbit. The game concludes when a player successfully locates the UAP or after a predetermined number of rounds. The player with the highest score, based on correct identifications and photos, is declared the winner. So, that's how you play.
There you go.
Do you have info on the designer? Are we going to...
No, we do. Well, I don't have any extra information about the designer, Ted Alsbach, but Ted, we have talked about on this podcast before.
That's true.
He's very tall.
He is very tall. And I've seen it with my own eyes.
And we love his games.
You've met the man?
I've seen him from across the room.
And he was tall.
He's very tall.
Wow. He must be really tall.
He works a lot with Bezier, or mostly.
He works with Bezier because he owns the company.
He owns Bezier, but I wonder, I guess I didn't look up how many other games he's done outside of Bezier, but the thing about Ted is that he, with any Bezier game, it has this feel to it. It just has like a presence that's like, oh yeah, that's a Bezier Ted Alsbach game. Werewolf is obviously like the main one that has that kind of cartoony fun and light but dark undertone side. But we've talked about, and I don't know, I think Jared, you coined this phrase, but he's the Tim Burton of board games.
That's right.
And I love that. I think that should definitely be, I think people should start saying that because it's true. So I will say very quickly, because I read this article, and if you want to know more info, it's the designer diary on BGG.
Oh, yeah.
With him. So he loved Search for Planet X, which, for those that don't know, this system, there's multiple in the series, and this falls right into that system. So he really loved that whole, like, the idea and concept and the gameplay of all that. But he had this love for UFOs that he wanted to take it another step. And so might as well go into the world of UFO/UAPs and kind of take it into this next system. He does. He did really also want to improve like the app as well and the aspects of that when designing. So all of these aspects are things that that he wanted. And kind of reshaping the game just slightly because he really liked Search for Planet X. So if you want to read more, go ahead. That it's a really good article. I read through it all. It's very good. It's very cool.
Nice. So maybe we can link that in the show notes.
Yeah, we could.
Okay. Josh.
Yes, sir.
What draws you into this game?
I really like the system, the Search for system. There are three games. There's Planet X, Lost Species, and then this one, Search for UAPs. Ted Alsbach designed just this one, as you said, because I think he really liked the system and he wanted to make like a gamer, a more like an expert mode kind of version of the game. And that's basically what this is. It's like, I'm excited to hear from Ian about his thoughts on this game, having never played Planet X, because to me, this feels like You boot up Planet X on your computer and there's an expert mode and you click UAPs. And it's just everything about the system just kind of cranked up a little bit. I think the system is really clever. I think it's really fun. A lot of times apps and games I don't like. Most of the time I don't like. But this one it's cool because it's a deduction game, and a lot of times in deduction games the problem is somebody accidentally gives you some bad info. And all of a sudden, you're screwed. So in this game, the app is the one giving you the information, and a lot of times it's hidden information you're not giving to the other players.
Sure.
But you're all working towards a common truth on a common board, and Planet X is sort of like just such a nice, simple, brilliant game. I haven't played Lost Species, but I was really excited for UAPs because I had read the designer diary before even playing it and just reading how much he loved the game and everything. Yeah. I was like, oh man, this is how I feel about the game.
Yeah.
I'm excited to play. So it's interesting now getting to sit here and talk with you guys about it because Jared has played Planet X a little bit.
And
you
I
haven't
not.
Played it at
no.
all.
And I've not, played none like, of us have played Lost Species.
Nobody has played Lost Species.
But you've played lots of Planet X.
I've played a lot of Planet X since it came out. I was super excited about that game as soon as I heard about it. I picked it up as soon as it came out, and my wife and I just played it over and over and over again.
That's good. That's cool.
That's awesome. So I'll throw it to you in a second, Ian.
Yeah, go ahead.
But since Josh mentioned the app, I want to applaud the app upgrade because I had more fun at the beginning of the game playing around in the app than even worrying about what the rules were, because there was all these different ways of either twisting the board around or zooming in or like twist, you know, doing all these different things. It just felt it felt spacey all by itself.
It did.
And it did. I loved how smooth everything was and how it gave you a lot of information in a small space, but it also was very careful not to let you either screw up or it was also very forgiving if you forgot to update the app while you're playing the game. I had a turn where I was like, oh crap, I didn't update any app. But then it was just very quick to get us caught back up and wasn't a big deal. So very smooth design. I don't usually have an issue with apps in games as long as they serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And obviously this one does a great job of doing that. And I thoroughly enjoyed the app and they did a great job with it.
Yeah. I mean, to continue with the app, I think, you're kind of, you can adjust like the way it looks and you correlate it with all the pieces that you're using to check off all of these things that you're searching for. And so it all makes sense. It's all logical in my mind. And I said this before, I never got lost with anything in front of me. And because there's a board in the middle that's shared. There's a lot of information. And you're looking at the board in the middle for all the pictures and stuff. And then you're looking at the board in front of you with the notes that you've taken. And then you're looking at the app. For me, it all made sense to me. And I never once got lost. Nothing was out of place. I always was looking at the right thing on my board. And I don't know. It just all made sense to me. It was all flowing just really, really well in my head, and everything made sense visually to me.
I also really liked that everything served a purpose. It wasn't like the board in the middle was superfluous to the app. Like there were parts where I wanted to look at the app.
Yep.
There were parts where I wanted to glance at the board, and having the different aspects to look at was, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this, out of the deduction games that I have played, of any kind, and again, there is a very, very wide variety of them. I don't know if I think the good deduction games use an app to some extent, in my opinion, especially when you're, if there's a hidden like sequence of something that you're looking for. The issue that I have with if one that's not is that it is really hard to not have a player elimination when somebody searches. So if you don't have an app, if you go back to the basic Clue game, game of Clue, like if you search for Clue and you miss, you're out, you figured it out. So I think it's essential to modern deduction games, unless you have, if there's a way maybe that they get around that. But in my opinion, the games that I've played, it just, I have a game that you can play it where you do look at the solution, or you can use the app, and I would never not play it without the app, because why would I want to eliminate a player?
Right.
I mean, you should get penalized for not getting it correctly, but so anyway, that's just my thing with deduction as a whole. I think they're essential kind of in a way for these deduction games, which is why I think there's so many more being made as well. You don't have, you know, I mean, I just spent an hour and a half into the game and now I'm eliminated because I made one mistake. Now you should be penalized, but not eliminated from the game.
Well, and it also, like, throughout the game really reduces the mistakes that can be made in a game where so much of it is your information versus everybody else's.
Yeah. And like, one of y'all said that is, you know, when you're doing the app, it's controlling all the misinformation that could possibly ever be given. Because, you know, human beings can, I gave you the wrong card or something. That doesn't really happen. And it keeps track of everything it did give you. I love the fact that I can look at the history and it'd be like, oh gosh, I don't remember what that clue was. You just go back and look at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, the app is fantastic as far as that goes. So yeah, they did a very, very, very good job on all the aspects of the app.
But then you also have your player board in front of you, which is just the map that's the shared map. You have your own little map that you keep behind your screen.
Yeah.
And you can make all kinds of mistakes on that thing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? you can cross check it with what you've learned from the app, but you know, in my case, I do this a lot in Planet X, I make an assumption. I say, oh, well, this information is true, so I know this is true. Mark
the whole thing.
And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I'm like, wait, hang on. Why did I assume that was true? Oh, no.
You're right.
Well, hang on. What all was not marked off before I started just marking the rest of it off?
See, that terrified me. Like, I gained some information of it's going to be either this or this when I surveyed early.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's not going on the map. That's going to go over here to the side, because if I even assume that I think I know, it screws up everything that I actually do know.
Yeah.
But that adds to the value of the note-taking board, because you can throw it over there instead.
Yeah, and I'm not by any means good at that part of it, of just taking random notes and like piecing it together, but I like it. Because there's some information that is like really direct. There's something here in this sector. But there's others where if it's, you know, the game will give out this declassified government information about UAPs. I think it's a cool little thematic thing, but it just kind of releases stuff. And I think everybody's was the same. Is that what we determined?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right.
So everybody's eventually gets it on their turn. And as if the game went on and on, I think there'd be more as well. But it's kind of this generic thing of like, okay, the UAP is not, you know, within two of something else, or do you within two of space junk, or it's next to blank, you know? And so this generic information, along with, you get more generic information from, is it called analyzing the satellites?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that.
So you get all these correlations with other things. There were multiple times where I got this correlation to something that I had no idea where that was. What was I correlating it to yet?
Yeah.
So I didn't know. It says it's, you know, within two of this, and I'm like, I don't even know where that is yet. So you have to mark it for later. And I think that's cool. It's like you get this information now, and then you can use it later. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really cool. I think that's always an aspect of the deduction style that I like, being able to save information for later. I'm like, this doesn't make sense now, but I will use this later.
Sure. So I will say, just from a draw perspective, I'm not usually drawn to these games. It's this deduction aspect is just not something that interests me very much. And my brain just, I don't know. I don't feel like I usually always feel behind in these games. And maybe that's just part of the design. I don't know. But it was interesting to me to be excited about this one, because I remember not liking Planet X. Mm-hmm. But I liked the theme and wanted to give it another shot. And I will say, I think the thing that really drew me in once we started playing, the differences in this game compared to Planet X logically just made more sense to me. Even though there was more, the way the board spun, the way the different objects interacted with each other and with themselves, all of it just logically made way more sense in my brain. And I've seen that online too, where some people are really frustrated by the adjustments, but then other people loved it. And so I don't know. I kind of want to do like this deep dive study on like how people's brains work differently when they look at puzzles. So,
yeah. I just cards on the table. I like Planet X a lot more than this game. I do enjoy this game. The more I've played it, the more I've enjoyed it. And I knew that was going to be the case with a more expert version of Planet X. I just like the simplicity of Planet X. I think that one of the criticisms that we've always had of Planet X is that even with Planet X, your board is a little bit busy, because, you know, every sector has to have every available logo on it that you mark off. It's just a lot to look at. It's noisy. It's busy. This game introduces even more different things that you can, that could be in each sector. And so it's very it's difficult to look at your board and really understand what you're doing. So in a way, you know, you're getting towards the end of the game and you're like, you know, if this board was bigger and I could look at it a little bit easier, I might be able to figure this out a little bit faster. But with that said, it still all comes together really well. And it's good design that we all, even though we didn't all figure out where the UEPs were.
Thanks.
UAPs were.
I was going to say two of us figured it out.
Yeah, two of us figured it out. But
I made a critical mistake.
We were all close by the end, and we all get close at the same time.
Yep.
And that's how Planet X is too. You normally are not figuring out where Planet X is, and someone else is just like, how are you even close? Normally it's like, no, I know it's between this one and that one, or, you know. And sometimes it's the sort of situation where it's like, well, if you know where it is, then it must be here.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that's actually what happened tonight when we were playing.
That is 100% what happened tonight.
Because I had narrowed it down to a couple of spots, and I noticed that Jared had placed a photo down that was still face down. Didn't know where it was going to be, but it was on a certain sector, and that was one of the two I was looking at. And I said, well, if Jared, who I trust to be correct in his assessment here, I'm going to take a guess that he's right, is right there, then that's not the spot that I'm looking for, so it must be the spot next to it. And I ended up being right. So that's what's always the fun, risky thing about laying down photos, and that's how it is in Planet X as well. When you're laying down your theories, it's always that risk of, is it worth it to let everybody know what is in this sector? Is it worth those points that I'm getting for giving everybody that information?
I was just going to say, I think it's my favorite mechanic.
Yeah.
Because you have to have the points.
Yeah.
Because the game is so tight.
You do. Yeah.
And if you don't take pictures,
right,
you're not going to win.
And I like that. That's the one thing I really like more about this game than Planet X is that they've actually made taking photos an action that you take now, versus in Planet X, it's just at certain intervals of the game. Okay, now everybody can lay down a theory if they want to.
Sure.
This is way better because now not only are you having to risk letting everybody know where something is, you're also having to, it also costs you an action.
You're taking an action to do it.
So you really don't want to lay something down unless you're really sure.
Yeah.
But with that said, something that I don't think, as we've talked about this, I'm realizing I like a lot more about Planet X is that I feel like research is a lot more necessary in Planet X. The game that we played tonight, I think I only researched like maybe once.
Sure.
And
research as in survey? Is that
okay? No, not survey. Looking for the data, whatever that's called in Planet X, it's called researching, I think.
You're talking about the analyzed satellite data?
Analyzing the satellite data.
Oh, okay.
And the one time I did it, it was information, ended up being information that I already knew.
Okay.
But I think after the first turn, I got some information about where the UAP was.
Uh-huh.
And that ended up being the information that I needed. So I did need that research, but that was just given to me. I didn't have to spend an action on that. I spent most of my time this game just targeting because I've played this game before. It had been a while. So I was like, well, let me just at least know where certain things are just so I can kind of get my bearings. And that ended up just kind of being what I did.
Right.
And to me, the fun of the logic, the deduction of it is more fun in Planet X because it's a lot of like, okay, well, it's not Planet X is not within two of a comet. It's you're getting all this information and it's all necessary to figure it out. You can't figure the game out without researching. And in this game, I basically did it. But that would be unheard of in Planet X. And so it felt a little bit more haphazard. And also there's just so many different things that you can be looking for. I don't know. I feel like I kind of lucked into a victory this time, and I've never really felt that way playing Planet X.
I disagree.
I actually do too.
So I felt like I used the analyze the satellites. Mm-hmm. That helped me tremendously.
You know, it could be that I This is what it was.
But maybe it's not a necessity.
It was a necessity that somebody was doing it.
Oh.
I was, because you guys were taking photos, and then I was getting the information from you guys that you were getting from the data. So I didn't have to. So forget what I said. Because
I
just played a strategy where I let you guys do the work for me, and I just kept targeting, and I happened.
That worked. Yeah.
And I happened to target what I needed to target to figure out what I needed. So
that's fair.
Also,
yeah.
I'm still a little bit right, but also
I just don't. I think maybe the difference is that one is not a necessity in this game. In the search for UAPs, there are multiple ways that you can find the information you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, based on how I was seeing the game, Jared found information different than I did, and you found information then different than both of us.
That's fair enough.
I would say too, I don't think you find the UAP when you do, if I don't do my data, because I was only able to find the one that I took a photo of because of the data that I found.
I think
I agree with you that it is less than Planet X, but finding the right time and the right choice within that data is so important.
Yeah.
But again, that's kind of like the mantra of the game.
Yeah.
You have to make every action is important in what you choose to do, because you can't just go targeting all willy-nilly, or you're only going to have so many actions. And you can't just go surveying all the time, or you're always going to be like, well, it could be three things and the whole board. And then you're just still stuck.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about when you do it than how much you do it.
Okay.
I would say, I think the timing of a lot of actions in this, I have not played Search for Planet X. So this is me just looking at this game specifically, not comparing it. I think the timing of many actions in this game are pretty in depth on knowing the timing of those things. And the longer I played this game, I figured this out, is that taking pictures at specific times is incredibly important.
Yeah.
Because I realized that I was the beneficiary of this.
You were.
As Jared took a photo before me, and he went into the next sector I don't know what they're called. And I knew what that was.
I think it's orbit, right?
Quadrant.
Quadrant. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, the everything will rotate I go into the next sector there or orbit. Well, he went into it with a picture, and it stays face down until everybody passes that line.
That's right.
Well, I went last, so I knew for me to get those points, I might as well take the picture now, and we could both get the points.
Right. And what's the argument? Because on the one hand, I need the points too.
Yes, exactly.
So do I take it?
Right.
Or do I just be like, well, I hope Ian
doesn't know what it's happening here.
And I can't take that risk.
Exactly. So you can't do that. But there's the timing there. So then, yeah. So it's just so fascinating. But then I think pictures are really strong early game. I was very hesitant to take a picture late game, knowing that that could have been a very specific piece of information that might have completed your thing.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
And I was like, I really wanted to, because I knew where the Hubble telescope was probably like 6 or 7 turns the game of the end game. And I was like, that's something they probably don't know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just put my picture out there for everybody to see.
Yeah. You
when
were
I
right
knew I was behind in information elsewhere on the board.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't take that risk, especially when I was like 2 or 3 turns away from maybe guessing. And I'm like, I really want the points.
Yeah.
So anyway, the game went on developed, I was like, I want to take pictures, obviously, and there are ways to take pictures of things like everybody knows, because a couple of satellites, they're opposite of each other. So everybody takes a picture on the one side, and you're like, okay, what's over there? Well, if I'm on the other side of the board, I might as well take a picture of it, because you know where it's at. Like, everybody knows that's the rule of the game. So, so there's ways to take pictures of that. But the other odds and ends things, like the individual one-offs, I was like, I should take a picture of it, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to give up that information.
It is tough.
Like, I spent all that time finding it. So do I want to just actively share that with the world here?
But eventually you have to, because you need the points.
Exactly. So a truly fascinating conflict of interest there. And so I was, yes, that was developing in my mind as the game went on. And honestly, if I had one more turn to follow through, I was going to take a picture of the Hubble and then guess. But you guys just went for the guess, and that was good on you. I think I would have won if I got at least another two, if I would have had two full turns left. So, because I would have been able to, I was in the right sector to take the picture and then immediately guess after. And it only take a total of, I was, cause taking a picture only moves you one little pip. So, which is nice. So yes, I agree. Taking pictures does take actions, but it's like one. So it's like, you can kind of usually combo them with other things, which I think is fantastic. It's like, yes, it's taking an action in a space, but I can usually combo it with something else. Either getting the information first, then taking the picture, or taking the picture and then going and get more information. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
all right. What about things you don't like?
Downtime.
Yeah.
Between turns.
If you target.
Yeah. Because you move four spaces along the track. So
I didn't do this in the game. So
it's always,
I didn't feel this.
It's always whoever is in last place gets to go. So when you take the target action, you're moving four spaces. So it could be, you know, there could be four turns in a three player game. There could be like four more turns before it's your turn again. And every one of those turns, is just a lot of thinking for the person involved. And it's not even an AP thing. It's just there's a lot to think about.
Yeah. No, there is. It's deduction. The hidden issue with deduction is you have to deduce the problem.
And there's not a lot of ways to like speed that up until you really know the game.
And especially, I mean, everybody's brains are different. So personally, I have a little bit more patience because my brain is the one that's taking a while in a lot of these games with deduction is like, I'm thinking through my turn. So I'm like, I'm okay with there being a little bit of, I go into a game like this knowing it's just it's going to take a little bit. And I'm okay with that because I know I don't want anybody to rush me. So I'm not going to rush anybody else. It's okay.
No, we talked about this on a recent episode where I think you and I have a lot of friends that are very competitive. Because we don't have a lot of game nights that are structured around just take a good move instead of a great move. Like most of our players focus on great moves.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think actually, funny enough, I think that's for an episode that releases after this, but I'm still going to use it.
There you go.
But yeah, so I've gotten used to it. There are a few games though where between turns, And again, this is only when I'm taking target. Like every other move, like I more or less am getting back into it pretty quick. But if I take the target action, like I was literally working on another document on my phone between turns because I had that much downtime.
Yeah.
But
yeah, same.
Yeah. But it is a lot of information.
I agree. And if you're doing things like survey or whatever, like you're analyzing the board. So it's a mix. Like there's just going to be parts of the game where you're not doing anything, and that's okay. Like I don't think it's like the end of the world because I agree with you. It just comes with this kind of structure of game.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We're talking about things we don't like. That is something to be wary of. The downtime can be, and honestly, it's a little bit of it's a brain burner, you know, for me. I have to truly think about this game. I can't just casually go into a game like this. For me, that's just not how my brain works. But I really enjoy these games, just not all the time, because I don't want my brain to hurt every time I'm trying to solve a problem in a game. There's plenty of other decisions to be made in every game, but this is a different kind of level of like I'm putting the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. And for my brain, that's a little bit more challenging. It requires a lot more effort. And I like a game that does that. It's just, I can't do it all the time.
Sure.
I'm not always going to be in the mood for something like that. Not that, like, and we're talking about the complexity of this isn't like way more than Search for Planet X, but on BGG, it does have the complexity like a whole point ahead.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair because as you go into the other, like you're saying, there's a lot more symbols. And again, I haven't played Search for Planet X, but just knowing how the boards look, like there's a lot more to be looking at. And that is something that, yeah, that's that brain burning thing. You're just looking at a lot on your board. And if that overwhelms you, if a lot of symbols and like trying to piece together the information,
yeah.
If you don't like deduction games, then you're not going to like this. That's one, just clear. But there is a lot to look at. There's a lot of to observe and take in as you're managing all these things. But personally, I think that the app and the game and the game boards all flow together and make it the easiest way. Make it easier or the most easy for a player to get into. Not that it's like the easiest thing to do, but it gives you the best chance is what I'm getting at.
So, Josh, you can feel free to disagree with my disagreements of Ian. I don't think that this deserves a full 1.3 weight higher than Planet X. So Planet X is a 2.42 complexity.
Yeah.
And BGG has... Yeah.
And it has this at like 3.7?
3.7.
Yeah.
What?
I'm like, there's no way. No.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I agreed with it. I'm sorry if that was what I was saying.
I'm sorry. 3.17, not 3.7.
Oh, okay.
But it's still not deserving of a full...
It does have
over
it higher.
Almost,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played it. I don't know. So I don't have that comparison.
I don't think this game deserves to be above a 3. I think that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a deduction game, not necessarily like a complex ideology thing, you know?
Yeah. I also think 2.42 is a little high for Planet X.
Yeah, I would say so. The thing...
And I think that is that's the deduction game of like having to...
It feels weighty because it's all in your head.
And exactly. But that's what I'm saying, that I think that it might be just a skewed rating. I don't know how they do that, but like... A deduction game is getting a couple points bumped because of its deduction, so therefore you have to use your brain more.
Right.
So,
I think the game just takes a little too long, and this is why I like Planet X more. I think this is the main reason. The main reason I like Planet X more is because this system is all about just getting little bits of information until one turn when you say, "Oh, hang on," and it all starts to make sense. And that's a very exciting feeling, and that's a lot of fun. This game takes longer to get to that point, whereas Planet X, you feel that maybe like 15 minutes into the game. Not very, you know, and then you spend it's like the game is in two parts. You spend the first half just gathering information, trying to feel your way through the dark. And then the second half of the game, you're like, hang on, I'm getting close. Oh no, she's getting closer.
Yeah.
Am I going to win? This game is like that too. It just takes longer.
So, okay.
It's still in two parts. It just takes longer to get to that second part.
My question is the amount of turns relatively the same? Am I taking the same amount of actions to get to that point? Or is this time in between my turns the reason why?
The turns take longer, and there's a little bit more turnage happening also.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be my answer.
Okay. Because personally... I like the fact that it is a little bit more of a process to get through the information. And I would gladly spend a little bit more time. But if you want a little bit shorter of a version, I think totally search for Planet X as well. But personally, I think I would like, if I had played Search for Planet X, I think I'd like this one more just because I get a little bit more time to really dive into the information.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a personal preference.
I'm trying to think what I would like to just nitpick about this game. I don't know that I have anything specifically about this game.
It is long. I'm not arguing any.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you are.
Downtime.
If anything, I've heard you say that you're cool with it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's a realistic nitpick
100%.
For sure of the game, for sure.
Yeah, I think for what this is, it shouldn't take 2 hours, which for your first few plays, it will, because you're getting used to so many different things, and it's just not...
There's a lot to look at.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I think so normally a component would not be such a big deal. The wet erase markers are a joke, in my opinion. I had to try two different markers. I still had issues with it.
You had to wet the marker.
Maybe it's operator error. I don't know.
You just had to wet the marker a little bit.
But even after I did that, it quit on me again.
It doesn't, because it goes dry. You have to wet it.
Well, I don't want to have to walk over to the kitchen sink every
just
20 minutes.
Dab it on your tongue a little bit.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You guys didn't have to do that. I
didn't have to lick my marker.
We had wet paper towels on the table.
Ian did
I'm not a fan.
Those.
I did provide.
When it worked, it was great.
Okay.
I actually really liked like how sharp it felt when I was circling something, but it didn't work.
So they do. They even recommend if you don't, if your pens don't work or they go bad, you can buy like name brand. What's dry like dry erase. Wet erase. They have wet erase.
Expo
wet erase markers. Like they're a real thing.
See, no, I know they're a real thing. I'm not saying that like Bezier invented wet erase markers.
No. I'm just saying maybe it's just not the best quality of wet erase.
Maybe.
I don't. I mean, you could just buy a dry erase markers as well.
Well, I was going to say that next. I can appreciate the struggle though, because dry erase would be a disaster in this game. You would be smudging stuff
all
the way through.
Yeah. So, for those that don't know about wet erase, basically, when
tell us, Ian, please.
When you write on your board, it's really hard to smudge it.
Yeah.
When it's dry, everything's dry. Even like the marker is
wet. I understand.
But when you mark on your board, it's not going to get smudged by any just accidentally bumping it. You have to add a little bit of water and dampness and then wipe it. So it's a little bit harder to remove stuff off your board, but nothing gets smudged like at all. So that's the benefit of that over a dry erase, where dry erase, like everybody knows, it gets messy.
So I don't know. I just wanted them to work because
I understand
when they worked, they were great, but it was like 50% of the time.
We should have traded because mine was working great. So I don't
know.
I'll need to.
I offered him mine.
Yeah.
It's my fault. You're right.
Yeah.
Forget everything we just talked about for the last 3 minutes.
No, it's a valid gripe. I'm not going to say I just didn't have that experience.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. With all that, I would say that overall the complexity is a little bit more than Search for Planet X, but not of what people are claiming. And also the ratings on BGG are wild. Like you have a ton of people rating it at 8. And then a plethora of people rating it a 1 and a 4.
Yep.
Like, and it also, Search for Planet X has like, I think, what did I say? Like 14,000 reviews, where this has only like 112. So, you know, maybe time will tell.
I think Planet X just has such a cult following.
It does.
It's such a great game.
Yeah.
This is the camp I fall in. I was so excited when I heard that this was being made. The idea of just like somebody said, hey, this is the perfect game. Let's make a more complex version of it. And so you're so excited about it. And then you play it. And then you realize, oh, just because something is more complex doesn't make it better. Sometimes the simplicity is what makes something great.
Sure. Totally a fair argument.
It's the same thing that happened with the rest of development when they kept making new seasons. It was like, oh, maybe
we should have just
been done.
Yeah.
I get that sentiment. So
I think that's why I think there's a lot of bitter people. And I would never go on BGG and trash this game. But I get where people are coming from. I think they're just taking it out in the wrong way. They need to calm down a little bit.
It honestly, like looking through the comments on BGG for this game, it felt like Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you love this thing
my game
that came out a while ago, and you're the purist that now owns this game in your own mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so the next game has to answer your demands for what it should be.
I didn't see many I saw a little valid criticism, but not much. And that's coming from somebody who definitely doesn't like this game as much as Planet X. But I mean, I'll play this anytime someone wants to. It's awesome.
That's right.
It's still the Search for system, which I love.
I think time will tell on this one. It's rated significantly less than Search for Planet, but I mean the current bell curve that I'm looking at would put this right at the same exact number. Like the same exact number.
Sure.
So,
and
that's where I mean I would put it slightly above based off what I know about Search for Planet X, but we'll see what it again, this game came out last year, so it's new.
It is.
There's not a lot of content on this game. It was hard to find a how to play video. There's not a lot of videos, period, on it. So as it's getting, you know, distributed, I think maybe there might be a different opinion of it. So,
yeah, as it continues to get distributed, for sure. Player count. We talked about this off air, but I'm going
to
say...
This is 2-5, technically.
It is 2-5. Yeah. I would say 2-3. I don't have any interest in playing this at 4 or 5.
More than 3.
We all,
2, preferably.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I like
you
3.
You like 2 because you've played a lot of 2 with Search for the Planet X as well.
It just, the game, it's snappy. It moves quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little bit you gain by having another competitor isn't worth the...
The amount of time
the amount of time it adds.
Yeah, no, that's
the downtime, I should say.
No, that's a fair point. I like the rush with 3 players personally. But no, that's, I think this game would fly in the sky with 2 players.
I also know that if I play this at 2 players, it's gonna be with Anna and she would crush me at this game.
That is correct.
So maybe you're like, I need to have Ian up on my side.
I need a third player. Yeah.
No, that's fair. No, I agree. I think they bumped this up to 5 as a benefit of this version, and
I would never.
Josh.
Planet X is one of my favorite games ever, but I would never play it with 5 people, not once ever.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know who is asking for that specifically. Somebody might have.
Ted was.
Ted was asking for it. So, I mean, you can play it up to 5. So good on you.
Yeah.
But if you play with, I did read if you have play at 5, you have to play it on the expert mode.
I mean, that makes sense.
So
you cannot play this game unless you know how to play.
Man, that'd be crazy. But here's, okay, as, because we haven't played it at 5, but I'm going to pitch this.
No.
If at 5, you have a bunch of people taking photos as well, look at all the information that would be expanded. Yeah,
that's true.
So I'm just a thought. I don't know if I'd be willing to try it.
The game would still be longer, but you're right, there's a lot of time in between turns.
I understand.
There's a lot of time in between turns, but...
Nope.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because for me, it's not just the time. It's I need space behind my screen to where I know that someone's not
on a bigger table, Jared.
Jared's just got it all so figured out. He's so worried people are going
to
be cheating.
No, I know. He thinks everybody's just trying to look at his board at all times.
I'm elbow to elbow with Jared. I can see his screen. Now I'm going to win. Yes.
Dude, you are paranoid.
Yeah, I'm going to sit by Jared.
I just...
paranoid activity.
It's
over
a small screen. I just... Ooh, that was so good.
Good one.
But still, I mean, bro, you're freaking out over here.
I'm not freaking out. I just want my space. And I don't like, I think what it is, I really don't like screens to begin with. They always feel small to me. I don't feel like I can get the stuff behind it that I want behind it. And now you want to crowd me around a table with 4 other people where no one's supposed to know each other's information.
And everybody's trying to snap photos.
And everybody's trying to look at Jared's
Ian
board.
Ian was whipping out his phone earlier, just taking pictures of everything. And I was like,
I was taking
hold on,
pictures
bro.
Of the game, and I was like, going to like take a high shot. And I was like, wait, I can't do that.
That's right.
Can't do that.
Anyways, so with all that said.
I mean, they're all fair points. I ain't going to lie.
With all that said, grading and final thoughts.
Yeah.
Josh?
Okay. If there was no Planet X and this was the only game like this...
I love that you're going with this approach.
That's a good approach.
I would rate this a 9.
Whoa.
Whoa.
0.5.
All right, so let's,
no
come back,
kidding.
Let's come back to reality.
But since Planet X does exist, and I would never...
That's crazy.
...grab this game over that one, uh-huh. I'll rate it a 6.
Wow. So he's just like all of BGG.
I'm blown away. I really didn't think, even without Planet X, I figured you'd be more than like an 8.
I mean, if this game was the only way to get that rush of that deduction, because this is my favorite deduction game.
Uh-huh.
If this was the only way to get that, then I would deal with it and play with it all the time. But I think that there's just simple truth in the simple simplicity of the Planet X.
And it plays faster.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Especially if you're playing with somebody else who knows what's going on. It's just the two of you. You can knock out a game of Planet X in like 30, 45 minutes. It's
That's
so
good.
Fast that you can say, hey, you want to play another round?
Right.
This game is not that way.
No, this is a one time and done.
Yeah.
I'll go next because I don't have any idea what you're going to say.
No, go ahead. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's, it depends on what you're looking for.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
I will caveat mine in the way that I think.
I'm not going to caveat mine with anything.
In the way that I think you did with Parks Rollin' Right.
Okay.
There's like a different threshold for how high this game can be for me.
Okay.
I think a 7, no, like you said, that.
Okay.
It's about as high as a game of this type could get.
Okay.
I think I'll give it I think I'm with Josh. I think it's a 6.
Mm.
I think I'll play it if somebody else wants to. I enjoyed my time while playing it, but I have no desire to play these types of games on a regular basis. It just doesn't draw me in personally. And I think for what it is, it does do a good job. It was interesting to think about because another deduction game that we play that you introduced me to, Ian, was Awkward Guests. And I enjoyed that so much more.
So good.
And the difference is instead of it being, they're both logic, but one has to do with just finding stuff. And one in Awkward Guests is more about this whodunit narrative. Yeah. I have no narrative in this game. And for someone who's big on story and theme, it's a lot harder to just be like, all right, find the puzzle. Yeah. And I'm just like,
you've got to be into this kind of thing.
You really do.
Awkward Guests. Yeah, that's a good game.
I really enjoy it.
Really good game. And we're not reviewing that game yet, but
someday.
That game, obviously, it brings you back to your childhood game of Clue. And everybody is, people have played Clue.
It's like good Clue.
Yeah,
good
Clue. Yeah. No, it is. No, it's adult Clue that it's fun. But yeah, no, the whodunit aspect, it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other level of deduction.
But when you break it down, it's essentially doing the same thing.
Yeah, so you're taking and, you know, you're using information to help you find other information. Yeah.
I just really like having a narrative aspect.
No, it is.
And you don't have that in this structure search for.
This is, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different deduction style games out there that are even the murder mystery kind. I've played ones with, you know, the app or, there's multiple, I've played the detective series. I've played a lot of those and I really, really enjoy, those games as well.
Do you have a favorite deduction game, Ian?
I think Awkward Guess is definitely going to be the best, the most
good one.
But I've played, detective.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one where, you use the phone to look at the crime scene.
Chronicles of Crime.
My wife really likes that one. Detective was a lot heavier than the Chronicles of Crime. And I've also looked at the Sherlock series as well. But in my mind, they're like all different in their own way. And so the way I look at this one, it's like, this one is not as challenging as those, in my opinion. The information is right there in front of me. I just have to figure it out. Where those, I'm like, okay, he talked to this guy and he talked to this guy. And there's way more in those. And so this is like a little bit lower tier for me. I would rate those, if we're talking about complexity scale, those would be much higher. But anyway, I would say this game for me, again, yes, I'm not going to rate a deduction game like a 10. It's just not happening. Awkward Guess would be the closest thing. But I would say this game is a 7.5 for me.
Mm.
I like it. I will play it most nights, no issues. And overall, in a way, I think I could teach this game a little bit. It's an easier teach for me than some of the other deduction games.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to explain the process or the wording of cards or the thing of this. It's like, here's your play sheet. Here's your clues. Just start piecing it together.
Because you have to learn to play by playing.
Yeah, that's right. And the screen does a great job of reminding you of much.
I mean, it's got everything on there. There's a couple terms that we looked up fairly quickly, like the next two, like those little just technical things. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Overall, this would be a much easier teach to me than some of the other deduction games. I would never. And again, all these games are going to be 2 to 3 players. Some of the other ones you can go up higher, and I would be comfortable doing that. But a lot of these style games, I wouldn't go up very many players anyway because of that downtime. The downtime is a part of the deduction that you that's going to happen. It's deduction. You're deducing the story or the murder or whatever. So I think that's part of the game and part of the process. And the reason I say this is that I think that my wife's family would really love this game.
Hmm.
They've played like the Sudoku and games like that where you're trying to piece together this information, and they're very like cerebral like that. And I think that we could sit down at the table and the downtime would not be a problem.
Oh, okay.
If we could sit around the table and take our turns and everybody just slowly just having fun and chit-chatting at the table when it's not your turn. I think this game can be a little bit more casual in that regard.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
I would disagree with that 100%.
That's
like, because I think it was what, towards the beginning of the game, you guys were kind of catching up and chatting or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, guys, shut up. Play the game. Like,
shut up.
This is already going to have its own downtime.
Ian was trying to tell me about his appendicitis.
I know, yeah. And I was already told not to care.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. I did have appendicitis and Jared didn't care. But anyway.
I was instructed not to care. The fact that we missed the game night was more important.
That's maybe may or not be true. But
see?
I'm saying with this specific group of people,
sure,
that is consistent across the board. I think absolutely that it would,
that would
work.
Drive me nuts.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. But I think that with it, I don't think I'd play with five. I'm not suggesting that.
Ooh.
I'm saying 2 to 3 people with her family specifically, I think we could 100% enjoy the hour or two that this takes to go through. And I think it would be fun.
My fear with that kind of like conversation, the downtime, is it would turn into a 3-hour experience.
I'm not saying that we would purposely avoid taking our turns. I'm saying the time in between when we were silent.
Yeah.
I think a conversation would come up very quickly and then go back to the game because that's the style of people that they are.
Okay.
And they're also much smarter than me. So they would probably be done with whatever they're fiddling on their board and ready to talk. So
fair enough.
that is my point. So
I get it.
So what I'm saying is there's a group of people that I think this could that really like those puzzly things. They would love this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know multiple people that would love this.
If you like puzzles, you're going to like this game.
Yeah.
Or this series at minimum. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistelin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the Two Top Table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.